Deuteronomy 26. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and take possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priests in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And the priest then shall take the basket from your hands, set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. And place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the aliens residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and have given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us as you promised on oath to our ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, here's a question for the kids, adults as well if you like, but what do you do when you're given something?
Take it away
later. Okay, we need to think about this. What else do you do, Tom? It's true. You say thank you, that's right, you say thank you. And how do you feel when you're given something you really wanted? Happy? Yes. Feel really happy, don't you? Now, harvest is a chance to say thank you to God for all the good things that he has given us. It's a chance to celebrate, be happy about his goodness to us. And it's also a chance to think about others. And a passage we read just a few minutes ago, Deuteronomy 26, helps us to think a little bit about our response to all God has given us. And it was a book in the Bible which is seeking to instruct, teach God's people how they're to live as those who love God. And the part that we're looking at is this is what they do when they enter the land that God has promised to give them. And one of the first things that they are to do, they're to thank him. See, we thank God, rejoicing in all the good things he has given us. We thank God, rejoicing in all the good things he has given us. See, have a look at with me, verse 1. You might need your Bibles. You want to pick the Bibles off the floor if you've put them there, kids. Open them up to Deuteronomy 26. If you need help, then ask an adult around you. Deuteronomy 26, and we read verse 1. It says this: look, when you have entered the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God has given you, and put them in a basket. Now, at this point, I need a helper. Just one. Do you want to come? Come on. Yep. Now, here's my basket. Here's my first fruits, I think, kind of. Now, the first fruits are the first bits that you take from the soil, the first bit. So here they are. Here's the first fruits. Here's my basket. And here's my little helper. Oops, hold on. Don't want to get rid of the first fruits. You just stand there. And because you're an Israelite, tradition, you always put a tea towel on your head. It's not Christmas, it's harvest. Now, you stand there with the first fruits. Now, you're just going to stand there. You're going to act it out for me in a minute, okay? Brilliant. Okay, brilliant. So you have your harvest with your basket, with your first fruits in it, and you take them to the priest at the temple. I'll be the priest. You can just stand in front of me. There you go. Now we're at the temple. That's it. You just stand there. And then you declare, I'll say it, you don't worry, your thanks to God. And you declare your thanks by remembering all he has done for you and given you. So you would stand there and you would say at the temple before the priest, holding your basket of first fruits, and you would say, I declare today to the Lord our God that I've come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And then you remember what it is God has done for you and given you. So you declare, you stand there at the temple before the priest. My father was a wandering Aramean. So you're thinking back to Abraham. Remember the story? Abraham had to leave his land in search for another land, and God promises to give him a land and his children, and they're wandering around, they're living in tents. You remember that. And then you say, and he went down into Egypt. You remember how from Isaac and Jacob and through Joseph, you're in Egypt. You're just a family with a few people. And we lived there, and we became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. And then you recall how you cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, and he saw our misery and toil and oppression. And so the Lord, we recall, he brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. And you remember all that God has done. The Passover lamb, how we had that night where the angel of death flew over and our children were saved because we had the blood on the door. And then you remember how he led you out of Egypt and all the other Egyptian children killed. And then you get to the great Red Sea and the parts. And you remember how he destroyed the whole Egyptian army. And of course, you remember all the plagues as well. And you're thinking, wow, what has God done to rescue us? And you recall it all. And then you say, he brought us to this place and he gave us this land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, kind of so good and rich and abundant. And now you say, now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. And so you give them to the priest, and the priest puts them down at the front of the temple, and you say, thank you. And then we read verse 11. And you and the Levites and the aliens and the foreigners among you shall rejoice. Woohoo! We celebrate and we give thanks. And we read verse 11. In all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Thank you very much. That's what you did. You say thank you and you celebrate to God for all the good things he has given us. But I want you just to notice. Notice what you're giving thanks for. Verse 11. All the good things God has given you. So you're giving thanks for this land which is flowing with milk and honey and it's just full of food and all that you need. You're giving thanks for all the material things that he has given. So food and shelter and clothes. But then notice what else you're giving thanks for. Since they prayed to God, they gave thanks for saving them, for the rescue, for bringing them into the land, for rescuing them from the Egyptians and making them his people. And he'd given them a place to live with him where he lived amongst his people. See, they were to rejoice in all the good things, both materially and spiritually. They were to remember all that he had done for them and all that he had given them. You see, when we remember the material things, the things that God gives us, food and shelter and clothes, it should always lead us to remember the spiritual things. It should always make us think, as we look at God's creation and see how he's provided us, to then think, wow, look what God has done in rescuing us and in saving us. And so when we sit around our tables at lunchtime and we say grace, we thank God for the food rightly and for those who provide it and help cook it, but it should also make us think how he's rescued us and saved us. Just as they did, and they stood at the temple and they thanked God for the richness of the land, but they thanked God for their rescue, for how he saved them. And you get to the New Testament and the pattern's the same. So we're called to be a thankful people, thanking God for all the material things that he has given us, but to thank God for food and clothes and shelter. So we read 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Or we read 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, for everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. You see, we're to be a thankful people. And of course, we have even more reasons to be thankful, don't we? I mean, we have much that he's given us materially, like them in the Old Testament. But how much greater is our rescue? I mean, their rescue was pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, he took them out of Egypt, he destroyed the Egyptian army, he brought them through the Red Sea. But ours is even greater, even better, even more wonderful. He sent his own son to rescue us. He sent his own son to die on a cross. He sent his own son to rescue us, not from Egyptians or a nation, but from our sin, from that which breaks relationship with God, from that which distances us from him, from that which stops us being friends with him. And he rescues us by dying on a cross and paying the punishment that we deserved for our sin, for our rejection of God. And then, of course, then in rescuing us, what does Jesus do? He brings us into the land. He enables us to one day dwell with God forever in heaven. We have such a greater rescue. So much better. How much more thankful should we be? Do you see, those who are God's people, those who love Jesus, we're to be a thankful people. We're to be a people who continually give thanks because of what Jesus has done for us in leaving the riches of heaven and coming to be amongst us and dying on a cross and raised again and ascended at the right hand of the Father for us. What a great rescue. And we're not to do just that once a year on harvest, but every day, we're to be thankful. As we gather around our dining room tables and we remember the material things God has given us, it should always draw us on to think about what else he's done for us in rescuing us, in saving us, in sending his son. And of course, harvest is an opportunity to pause and remember that we are a thankful people, a people who give thanks for all that God has given us, giving thanks for food and clothes and shelter and toys, and giving thanks for Jesus. We're to be a thankful people, and we've remembered how and what we're to be thankful for. But Deuteronomy 26 teaches us as well that we're to be a generous people. See, we are to share generously with those in need, for God is generous to us. We share generously with those in need because God is generous to us. See, imagine. Just imagine that someone gave me a tub of roses. Oh, there's a little message on it. It says, to Mark, love. Oh, someone's crossed out the E and S, and you're left with Roz. Okay, I did it to myself. Thought of that all on my own. Maybe one day. Now, imagine that I've been given these this morning. Now, what can I do with them? I could share them with you. I could do that. Or I could just sit at home and eat them all myself. And I want you to know I could do that. And I would enjoy that. But it's good, isn't it, when someone's being kind to you and generous to you to then want to share that with others, isn't it? So this morning I want to share my roses with you guys. Not right now. You can come and see me after church. Just so there is a full tub of roses. Come and see me. I'd just love to share them with you. Oh, obviously children first, but then we'll go. No, just come and see me. Just want to share. Share. Someone's been generous to me. I want to be generous to others. So turn back with me to Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26, these ones who have been given so much by God, they've been given stuff materially, they've been in this land which is flowing with milk and honey, they've been rescued in this most amazing, miraculous way. And we read then verse 12. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. So the next bit of the thing says you're to give a portion, a tenth, of what God has given to them to others. So to share what they have been given by God with others. So they were to share with the Levites. They were the priests who ran the temple, and they were to give towards supporting them. And they were to give to those who were in need. And those in particular need were the alien, that is the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Because back then you needed someone who'd go and work out in the fields, and if you didn't have a father, you didn't have a husband, or you were a foreigner in the land, you weren't able to do those things. And so these people were to look after them and care for them from the generosity that God had shown them. Now, can you just see this? Just have a look in the Bibles with me. Verse 11, verse 12. See how this works. Verse 11, we read, then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Then you get verse 12. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Do you see the link? It's because God has been generous to you, you give thanks for all of that. Because he's been generous to you, you then give and are generous to others. It's always flowing from what God has done to us. It's not just a command, just give. It's, no, God has been so generous to you, all that he has given you. You're thankful for it. And then you are generous to others. And it goes on in verse 13 onwards how they had to go to the priest again and declare that they had done this. But they were to be generous because God had been generous to them. Now you come to the New Testament and you see exactly the same pattern. That in light of what God has done for us, in him being generous to us, both materially but also much more so spiritually, in rescuing us, we're to be generous. And so we read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the New Testament doesn't say, hey, just give a tenth or just give so much. It just says, be generous. Be generous with what God has given you. Be generous with all that you have, your food, your homes, your clothes, your toys, your money. You just want to be generous with it. Because he's been so generous to you. So generous in saving you, in sending his son to die for you. He's been generous in providing for you richly, materially. So be generous to others. And we then get a number of stories where we just see this worked out. As you think of 2 Corinthians 8, you read of the Macedonians. And the Macedonian church is a poor church. In fact, Paul says they were in extreme poverty. But this church has heard of the Jerusalem church, which is hundreds of miles away. And the Jerusalem church is in desperate need, it's in famine, they're starving. And this church in Macedonia wants to help the Jerusalem church. And they do so because they recognize how generous God has been to them. Because this Jerusalem church initially sent out people who told others about Jesus, including the Macedonians. because God had been so generous in sending people to tell them about his son dying for them and rescuing them so they could be friends with God, this church in Macedonia is now just wanting to be generous. And this church in Macedonia is in extreme poverty. Paul says they're in severe trial. And then he writes this. He says, but their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Even though themselves were in need, even though they were going through trial themselves, they recognized God's generosity to them in rescuing them and saving them through that Jerusalem church, such that they're just overwhelmed with joy and rich generosity. They just want to send what they can back to the Jerusalem church. See, we're to be a generous people with all that God has given us. But of course, not just sharing what he's given us materially, we want to be generous with sharing our faith, with telling others about Jesus. So I came across this story this week of a woman who was generous with sharing her faith in China, a lady called Meng Zuying, and she understood the gospel. She understood the generosity God had shown her. She fell ill 20 years ago, and she made a difficult journey on foot to reach a mountain church, because she'd heard that the Christians there helped those in need. And there she found help. She found warmth and friendship. And she found people who prayed for her. And she got better. And very soon she became a Christian. But that's not where the story ends. She said that she felt such joy in her new faith that she couldn't bear to keep it to herself. So when she was well enough, this simple farmer who didn't have much left her all that she had, the comforts of home, and she spent every spare minute of her time walking from house to house to share the gospel. And the writer says this, today, thanks to her generous outpouring of her faith and time, there are 1,000 Christians and several churches in the valley where she lives. See, Meng understood God had been generous to her in sending his son to die for her, that she gave up her time and she gave up her comfort to tell others of God's generosity in the sending of Jesus. See, if one has understood, if one has grasped what it is Jesus has done for us, how generous he's been for us, we're going to want to be generous people, aren't we? What's going to motivate me to want to be generous? Is recognizing how generous God has been to me. That I want to just share my money and I want to share my time and I'll give up my comfort because I want to tell people about Jesus. But I'll also want to share with those in need all that I have because I want to be generous. So here's the question, are you generous? Are you generous materially? Are you generous spiritually? Are you generous materially? You give what you have. You're generous with what you have. Are you generous spiritually? Do you just desire to share the gospel with others? Or are you always just trying to cling on to what you have? Your material things? Cling on to our time? Cling on to our comfort? Are you generous? Well, here's a way that you can be generous this Christmas. Christmas is a great time, isn't it, to just show generosity. It's a great time to share our faith. So be thinking now and praying now. Who can I invite to the Christmas services? Who can I share the gospel with this Christmas? How can I be generous with my faith this Christmas?